faith and hope and love. I got more than my share. I'll be moving to my matching dress over in glory, where I'm a rightful heir. I'm rich in faith. I got more than my share.
Praise the Lord. Well, I'll tell you what. I'll take the riches that we have in Christ far over what the riches of this old world can give you. Because it's eternal what we have. Aren't you glad to be in the house of the Lord this morning? Turn around, shake somebody's hand, greet him in the name of the Lord. Tell him you're glad to see him in church today. What a privilege it is to be in the house of the Lord. Play some more of it, guys, if you will. A little bit. Give me some. God bless you. Good to see you, buddy. Good to see you, buddy. Well, I'm rich in faith, hope, and love. I got more than my share. I'll be moving to my mansion just over in glory.
Sins, he took me in. He's building me a mansion beyond.
Oh, yes.
Hallelujah, I'm a millionaire.
Well, I'm rich in faith, hope, and love. I got more than I share. I'll be moving to my mansion just over in glory, where I'm a rightful heir. Oh, thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord. What a privilege it is to be in the house of the Lord today. I'm going to let you be seated while we look at our prayer request this morning. Sister Donna Pistole says to please pray for Josh. He needs healing in his body. Also for my mother, who says that her legs are hurting her very, very badly. So let's remember those prayer requests today. Little Scotty Babb says to please pray for Alicia Babb. She has viral symptoms, so let's remember her as we pray. Brother Gary, Sister Lona sends this in to please remember our great-granddaughter, Kezia McCoy, in prayer. She's been having flu-like symptoms this morning, so let's remember that prayer request. Brother Alray Robertson sends this in to remember a brother, Shadrach, from Durban, South Africa. He has asked for special prayer as he is going in for a neck disc replacement on October the 11th. So they're asking that we would remember that prayer request as we pray. Roosevelt Vilbrun sends this in to please pray for Sister Bernice Vilbrun from Palm Bay, Florida. She needs a special touch from the Lord. I believe the Lord Jesus is more than able to heal our sister. May God bless you. So we commit that to the Lord this morning. Sister Jan Hall sends this in to please pray for my long friend Carol. She's been battling cancer now for a year and has a blood clot in her leg from chemotherapy. And the doctors found something else now in her blood. They're calling her back to the cancer doctor. So we want to remember that prayer request as we pray today. Sister Rebecca Horniak sends this in to please pray for my neighbor. She requested that we remember her. She just found out that she has cancer. So we certainly want to pray for that need today. Brother Junior Davis, we want to continue to remember our brother. He gave us a good testimony last night, the belief in the Lord and the side effects from this chemo. I believe God's able to just let that pass away. And we want to pray for our brother. Remember you, Brother Junior. We just thank the Lord for you. Brother Tracy was here in the service last night. I don't know that he's back this morning, but we certainly appreciate the Lord letting our brother be able to be back in the house of the Lord. And Brother Jim Babb, I spoke with him this morning. He is recovering at home, doing really good. Just continue to remember our brother in prayer as we pray. Now, let me give you this testimony. Sister Carrie Arrowood sends this in. My mother has had several heart surgeries. Last week, she was told that she had 3 more blockages. We prayed, and after 8 minutes into the heart cath, the doctor came back out and said, no blockages. Thank you, Lord. So praise God for that. Thank the Lord for that testimony. And also, I want to thank you for praying for my wife. Glenda had a good doctor's report this past Tuesday. She was looking at going to a heart specialist on Friday. This past Friday, but the doctor that she saw on Tuesday said things are looking so well, I'm going to cancel that appointment to the heart doctor. So praise the Lord for that. Well, the Lord is just so mindful of us, and we just want to always thank Him for what He has done, is doing, and is going to do that we don't even know about yet. But I believe He's got great things for us. No matter what we're going through, God's in control of every bit of it. You believe that this morning? Let's stand. Do you have an unspoken prayer request? Something you'd like for this group to pray about today? We'll just commit all these things unto the Lord. Brother Wes, why don't you come this morning? Let's invite the presence of our Lord into the service. We'll commit all these requests unto His loving hands. God bless you, buddy.
Let's pray. Father, first of all, I'd like to thank you for giving us sound mind, Lord, so that we could be here today. We could worship together. We could come together with the body, Lord. We know that wherever we're gathered together, you're there with us. You're in us, and you hear our requests, and you care about our requests. One of the main things the devil tries to do is make us think that you don't hear us or we're not important enough for you to hear our request. Lord Jesus, you walked this earth just to show us how much you loved us and how much you cared. You came and you died for us just to prove to us your great love and how much mercy you were willing to give us and how willing you were to come and meet us where we're at and help us, Lord, and watch over us and guide us and be our shepherd. Lord God, no shepherd would turn away from one of his sheep who was in need and let him just lay there and suffer. Lord God, we know that you hear our requests and we refuse to listen to anything the devil would say. Father, we want to thank you so much for all the requests. Over the years since I've been here, Lord, I've seen one after another miracle and request answered and testimony and praise, Lord, offered up for what you've done for us, Lord. Sometimes we don't always understand the way you answer our prayers, but we know good and well from the record, Lord, that we've seen that you are here among us and that you do answer your prayer, our prayer requests. Father, we lay each and every one of these. There's people with problems in their bodies, sicknesses, Lord. There's people who are fighting great, terrible things, Lord, in their families and in their homes. There's things all across this world, Lord. There's people that need salvation. There's people who have put their requests here, Lord, that are within the body. There's people from without the body, Lord. But they're all looking to you. And, Lord, we just want to put our faith together with theirs and ask, Lord, now that you consider these requests, Lord, and that you put your will to work in them, Father. Lord, we turn this service over you to this morning, Lord. We ask you to take your servant, Lord, and speak to us. Lord, it's supernatural, the things that we hear, Lord, as you speak to us through this man, Lord, and bring us your word. Give us the ears to hear it and the eyes to see it, Lord. Help us to draw closer to you. We're one day closer now, Lord, to you than we were yesterday when we got up, Lord. We're one day closer. We know that you're coming soon, and we can't wait to see your coming, Lord. And Lord, I just want to turn this service over to you. May all the glory and honor and praise be to you, Lord Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Brother West. God bless you. Ushers, if you'll come at this time, we'll receive the morning tithe and offering you give us unto the Lord. If you're visiting with us today in the service, we certainly want to take this opportunity to welcome you. Glad to have you here. All those that are streaming the service today, may God bless all of our brothers and sisters from around the world. Could you say God bless you to them? Say it one more time. God bless you. Amen. Now give all of our streamers a good hand this morning, if you would. Praise the Lord. You know, in life, we sometimes, you and I, as workers in whatever the job that we do in life, the benefits sometimes let us down. As far as insurance and vacations and all this sort of thing. Sometimes we get disappointed in our work related endeavors that we go through every day. But I want you to know this morning. If you are in the Lord Jesus Christ, your benefit package is totally out of this world. You got the best benefit package of anybody. Anybody going today, you got the best. Somebody say praise the Lord. Now give him a big hand clap of praise if you love him. While traveling through this world below, I see great cities everywhere I go. But I know that soon their beauty, it'll fade away. But there's a place waiting just for me, a city that'll stand for eternity. I'm telling you the place where I'm going, it's out of this world. Oh, it's out of this world. Out of this world. I'm telling you the place where I'm going, it's out of this world.
With his own hand, telling you the place where I'm going is out of this world.
Out of this world, 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 out of
Somebody say praise the Lord. Hallelujah. If it costs you everything you can accumulate in this life, it'll be worth it to get to that place. No more sorrow, no more fear, no more dying, no more tears. The river of life is flowing by, where we'll never have to say goodbye. I'm telling you the place where I'm going is out of this world. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Thank you, Father. Amen. God bless you. I'm going to let you be seated this morning. We have Brother Wes Ardell and his family. They're here with us again this morning. Now, Brother Wes done all right last night, but his kids were out of the world. Yeah. Amen. Brother Wes, God bless you. Why don't you come this morning? Where is Brother Wes at? There he comes. We love our brother. He just got tremendous, tremendous talent the Lord has given him. Amen. He's coming to sing for us. Let's just sing a little chorus as he gets ready to sing for us this morning. For he is holy. Let's sing that just before Brother Wes comes to the platform. For he is Jesus is holy. Say it to him, church. He is bless you. We're glad to have you with us today. He's going to give us a couple of songs this morning. He says one, but we're not going to let him off here without two, so you just might as well get ready.
Amen. I came up to Johnson City with a little bit of a throat problem. I'm not confessing it. It's you can hear some of the symptoms, I guess you could say, but I tried to explain it to Brother Louie, and it just kept getting worse and worse. Not my voice, but Brother Louie's persistence. So, praise God. He told me to smile at him this morning if I had one, and I didn't smile at him all morning. But we certainly love the Lord, and I had something else on my heart this morning, but we heard the prayer requests, and there's so many needs in the body of Christ. Amen. And a believer wrote this song, and I don't, you know, I think some of the tune has changed over the years. I don't know. I can't take credit for it, but it's the words that count, you know. And thinking about Brother Junior Davis this morning and what he's going through and everybody else, and it's already done. Amen. That's all I can say is it's already done. The battle is over, and I cannot sing. I can't carry this tune on my own. So if you feel like standing up and worshiping and claiming it, you can do whatever you want. It doesn't matter, but join me if you want. It's already done. Oh, it's already done. The battle is over. The victory is won. Oh, it's already done. Oh, it's already done. Oh, it's already done. Oh, the battle is over. The victory is won.
Come back up here just a second. We'll sing a little bit more of that just as Brother Donnie gets ready to come out, if you would. That's pretty coarse, isn't it? Amen. You do that. You do that really, really good, Brother West. God bless you. As you know, this month is Pastor Appreciation Month.
October is, I don't know who come up with that, but it's just another holiday or another whatever. But I just want to say this before our pastor comes out. And if you're visiting here this morning, I'm sure you feel the same way about your pastor, Brother Dutch. I'm sure, Brother Wes, you guys feel the same way about your pastor, Brother Dutch Scott. And if you're visiting, you should feel that way about your pastor. But I feel like that for us at Happy Valley, God has given us the best pastor that's on planet Earth. I mean that with all of my heart. We realize that this ministry that you and I have been permitted to sit under, to be a part of, is just the grace of the Lord. The grace of God that has brought us from every walk of life that's imaginable, every facet of life from all different states, different parts of the country. God has put us together under this ministry. And I know that you appreciate your pastor, his family, Sister Carol, just the very epitome of what a pastor's wife should be. And the family just... So we just want to... We have a card we're going to place on Brother Donnie's desk, and just a card of appreciation from you to our pastor and his family. But let's have Brother West sing this chorus. There's victory in this song right here this morning. If you believe it with all your heart, the battle's already over. The victory has already been won. We just can't see it yet. God, just open our eyes to see it, what he would do for us. Sing it with all your heart, buddy.
Oh, it's already done. Oh, it's already done. Oh, the battle is over. The victory is won. Oh, it's already done. Oh, it's already done. Oh, it's already done.
Just a nice song. That's the truth. If we could just believe that, accept it in our hearts today. I remember years ago when I first started hearing Brother Ram say, if the Lord Jesus was here, he could not do any more for you than what he's already done. But he's already healed you. All he would do was try to get your faith to the place to where you could accept it. And you just ponder that and ponder, and you think, how could it be? But as you go on, you realize it's already done. The work is already finished. If we can just rise to a place to be able to believe it with all of our hearts. Let's turn today to the book of Colossians, if you would, chapter 2. I want to read the scripture that we read last night. I wish to speak to you again today on the danger of will worship. Colossians chapter 2, verse 20. Wherefore, if you be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why, as though living in the world, are you subject to ordinances, touch not, taste not, handle not? And remember, Paul was dealing with many Jewish doctors, and the Essenes were all around them everywhere, and they had all kinds of things to deal with. And this was part of what his introduction is into will worship, that people can begin to apply things that God doesn't require. The Essenes were a people that were separated, pulled away from other people. They ate no pleasant foods. Their bread was dry, coarse, rough. Their meats, everything that they ate, everything that they did, they saw no pleasure and nothing in life other than just serving God. and that was a will worship. God never demanded that of them. So here Paul says, they want to try to put these rudiments on you of touch not, taste not. If you touched an Essene, he was unclean until he got home and was able to take a bath and still remained unclean till the setting of the sun. So they just implied a bunch of different things that God never required, which all are to perish with the using after the commandments and doctrines of men, which things have indeed a show of wisdom in will worship. So they're taking their own fabrication of man-made ideas, putting it together and say, well, we do this and we don't do that and we do this and we don't do that. And they put it all together. And he said, it's nothing but will worship. That's all it is. Wisdom and will worship and humility and neglecting of the body. So they would deprive themselves. You imagine they'd old rough, coarse bread. Well, Lord, to put butter on it and just slather a daub of honey on it, you'd be backslid. That's the way they looked at it. There was no pleasantness in life. That's why some folks are in the message. You know, I'm in the message. They can't smile. They can't be happy. Well, I don't want what you got. I want that joy unspeakable side. It's full of glory. Amen. Not in any honor to the satisfying of the flesh. Let me read this to you again. Will worship signifies simply a mode of worship which a man chooses for himself, independently of the revelation which God has given. The whole system of deism is a worship founded in the will or thoughts of man and not in the wisdom or will of God. Let's bow our heads together. Heavenly Father, we approach your great presence today with thanksgiving in our hearts, Lord. We're indeed grateful, Lord Jesus, that you have made yourself known to us. We desire, Lord, that we, as we sat in this place for just a little while, that we would be caught up into heavenly places. We've not come to hear one another or see one another, though that would be good. Yet that's not the ultimate goal that we have on our hearts today. But it is to be able to receive from your mighty hand. I've studied, I've prayed, I've applied myself. But Lord, there's very little that one mortal can do to help another one. But we pray that for a supernatural intervention in our thoughts today, that you would arrest our thinking as it was, pull us into your presence, that we might abide in the presence of your divine august courts today. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Before we go into our, we want to pick up again today, Lord willing, on David. But before we do, I want to share with you a little bit, hopefully to broaden your understanding of what worship actually is. Worship in the Greek is to serve, to minister to offer gifts. Many times we are limited by our comprehension of what we think that worship is. To many people, this is worship. Waving their hands, singing, crying, playing an instrument, and that is part of worship. But that is not the all-conclusive end of what worship really is. Notice this in the Hebrews series. Brother Bam tells us we should not worship the Lord just after we get through preaching the word, as we usually do, just worship him. That's wonderful. But we should worship him every hour of our life. Now listen how. When we're at work, we should worship him. Every time the opportunity presents itself, worship the Lord by testifying of him. Now remember what the meaning of worship is. To serve, to minister to offer gifts. So worship is more than just when we're in church. It's more than when you're down beside your bed praying, Lord Jesus, I love you. I worship you so much. Actually, worship, part of our worship, is the way we serve God. In the way that we believe God's will is for our lives. And we know that we can only serve God on earth as God's servant that sent on earth, interpret God's word to us. So then we want to give our servitude to the Lord in the way that it will be received. We want to just limit it to the part when we're in the church and whenever we sing and, oh, I worship the Lord with all of my heart. Well, if you worship him with all your heart in here, and then when you go outside the doors, you don't give him all of your heart, you're not synchronized in divine worship. You're one thing out here and you're another thing in here. But once we can realize that really our worship is everything that we are. It's the way we treat our brothers. It's the way we treat our wives. It's the way we treat our children. It's the attitude that we have toward the word, the attitude we have toward the world. All of it puts together and really what worship is. is. But if Satan can limit us to where we say, well, this is only worship, and then we'll make this holy and reverential, oh my, it'll be so holy and so divine. He knows exactly by doing that, that it will warp our perspective of what true worship really is. That God wants it to be every day of our lives is a worship unto Him. Now, listen to how Brother Bram frames this, and he says, every time the opportunity presents itself, worship the Lord by testifying of Him. If you see, some of you ladies see a woman in the wrong, worship the Lord by taking her and saying, sister, there's a better life than this. That's worship. You mean it's not like this, or patting her on the back and speaking in tongues in front of her and scaring her to death? You mean that's not worship? That's ignorance. That's ignorance. You mean worship is actually sharing something that we have with others in a very constructive type of way. You men at work, when you hear a man using the name of the Lord in vain, get a chance to take him to one side and slip over and take him by the hand and say, there's a better life than this. You shouldn't use those words. Tell him in a meek, gentle way, all those things is a worship. Can you imagine then that you witness about the Lord Jesus in the right type of way? In a meek and gentle way, you witness about what God has done for you, or trying to enlighten someone that doesn't see what you see. Actually, you are worshiping God. Though you never done this, though you never said, hallelujah, glory to God, thank you, Lord Jesus. But you are worshiping because worship is all inclusive of the way that we serve God. And when we witness about Him, we are offering a gift into His presence. There may be an element of human because you don't know what that person's going to say back to you. You don't know how they're going to respond to you, but you are willing to take that risk whenever you feel the liberty to witness about the great things that God has done. And yet God would identify that and receive that as your worship. How much more worship can we give Him every day of our life once we really see what divine worship truly is? So to worship God, to be able to approach God, it's more than just three times a week. It's more than whenever you pray at night or whenever you read your Bible or listen to a tape. But to think that every day of our lives is given as a worship. Now, whenever we look in the scripture and see that Satan now wants to receive worship, but he will receive it in a total different way from God. Remember, he has God-like attributes. And God made him that way to where he would want to be worshiped. He wants to be adored. And yet millions of people worship him, but they never bow down. Oh, Satan, I adore you. Satan, you're the all-powerful. Satan, I give this. But the way they conduct their lives. When they go out and get drunk, they're worshiping the devil. When they lie, they're worshiping the devil. Why? Because they're rendering to Satan's kingdom a service of what he wants them to do. When you refuse to do those things, you're worshiping God. When you live right, when you testify, when you try to reach out, when you try to be a friend, all of those things that you're doing under the leadership of the Holy Ghost, you are worshiping God. My, don't you want to worship Him? Now, let us go back, if you would, again this morning and take up the reading in 1 Chronicles 13:1. And we're going to pick up on King David. Now, what a beloved man that David was. A man that loved God. A man that really wanted to be something for the kingdom of God. And yet we can see from the example that we looked at last night that good, godly people that are sincere can go the wrong direction. And they can absolutely get into a spot of their frame of mind to where they choose the way they worship God. And they believe that God is bound and obligated to receive it. But we know that God alone is the one who constitutes and sets up His way of the way He will receive worship. And if we want our worship to be received, whether it's like this or witnessing about Him, then we must come in God's provided way. You believe that? 1 Chronicles 13:1, David consulted with the captains of thousands and hundreds and with every leader. Now remember, the ark has been out from under the tabernacle of the tent of the Lord for over 100 years. Saul has been king. They've had all kinds of rebellion, all kinds of things have gone on. And David now wants to bring the ark of God back to where the people of God can be able to rejoice. But remember, there's also a political movement behind this. David has now been king. The household of Saul, the Gibeonites, many of the other tribes have sided up with Saul. But
Mephibosheths, all the different ones have had the battles and the wars. As long as Saul had an heir, there's a possibility of these things not working. So David looks at it in a more political mind instead of a spiritual mind. So he begins to contact, instead of the prophet of God, the ministry, he contacts the leaders of the people. So he contacts captains of hundreds and captains of thousands. And he would contact this man and that man and that man, so that they would, in order to be able to influence their people or their followers. So here he looks at it in a very political move and a political way. And now remember, he's in an exempt status as far as most of these people are concerned. Most of them are not going to rebuke him. Most of them are not going to walk up in his face and say, you are wrong and I will not follow you. They're not going to do that. So instead of causing a trouble, most of them are going to submit and they're going to do whatever he says to do because he's the big man. You realize Satan loves to get folks in exempt status place and then mess up their minds and they lead the innocent astray. Now watch, and David said unto all the congregation of Israel, if it seem good unto you, and if it be of the Lord our God, let us send abroad unto our brethren everywhere that are left in all the land of Israel, with them also to the priests and the Levites, which are in the cities and suburbs, that they may gather themselves unto us. Now this is what the whole thing is about. They want to gather unto us. Now they're going to come. I've received this revelation from God. And let us bring the ark of our God to us. For we inquired not of it in the days of Saul. And all the congregation said they would do so. For the thing was right in the eyes of all the people. So all the people, all the leaders, all of those that were beckoned, apparently it was totally acceptable in the eyes of all the people. And all the people along with David were totally, completely wrong and out of the will of God. You know, it's not a surprising thing that we're going to get out of the will of God. The surprising thing about it is when you show people the right way and they still refuse to walk in the will of God. And instead of subjecting themselves to the word, many times folks get angry and mad and then they leave, you know, so you realize there's something wrong with their spirit in the first place. So David gathered all Israel together from Shihor of Egypt, even unto the entering of Hemath, to bring the ark of God from Kirjath-Jearim. And David went up and all Israel to Bala, that is to Kirjath-Jearim, which belonged to Judah, to bring up thence the ark of God, the Lord that dwelleth between the cherubims, whose name is called on it. Now notice what they're going to do. And they carried the ark of God in a new cart out of the house of Abinadab. And Uzzah and Ahiah drave the cart. Now, as we looked at last night, we'll just touch on it for a moment. This was not God's original way. God's original way was that the priests, the family, the breakdown of the family of the Levites, that it would be those of the Kohathites, and they would take the ark of God and they would bear it over their shoulder, and they would run a stave through the rings that was on the ark, and there would be four men, two in the front, two in the back. They would bear the ark above their shoulder, which was signifying the word over their heart. So here these men are carrying the word over their heart. They can't take the tent down. They can't put the tent up. But this particular group of Levites, the only thing they did was they hauled the ark around and they moved it from one place to another. And yet David, instead of going God's provided way. Now remember, there was only 5 books of Moses at this time. It's not like they had 1,167 sermons. It's not like that they had all kinds of books and all kinds of history and all kinds of things. They had 5 books of Moses. And David said in Psalms 119, 4 or 5 different places, oh, how I love thy law. I love thy law. I love thy law. So it wasn't that he was ignorant of what God required. It was that David overrode what God said for whatever reason. We're not sure exactly. But yet David felt like he could go this new way. Now remember, the new cart was the idea of the Philistines. When the Philistines had had the ark of God, kept it for 7 months, then they sent it back to the land of Israel on milch kine, and the milch kine pulling the cart, and when they came up, they offered trespass offerings. So David reverts back to a denominational way in order to bring the ark of God. Lord, you know, why in the world do we do such things? Why do we do such things when we know that it's contrary to the word, and yet we do it anyhow? And you realize that by David doing this, he typed every denomination that would ever be. David typed every false move that has ever been or ever will be in this message. message. He typed every move. He typed all of those things to bring the word in on a new cart, a new way, a new idea that the original administration did not give. This has nothing to do with what God told Moses. It was they're supposed to carry the ark over their hearts. Why? So that men will feel the burden of the word. God does not use machinery. God uses men. Oh my. And they carried the ark of God in a new cart out of the house of Abinadab. Now when they do this, it's absolutely a pagan idea. So they're injecting what? We'll worship God. This is the way we're going to do it. And you'll bless us and you'll honor us. Well, we found out God didn't hardly go that way. Watch this. Brother Ben said, now listen close. Don't miss this now. The first thing they consulted priests. They consulted dignitaries. Consulted the military. Consulted all the congregation. The neighborhood to get together for this great meeting to come. They failed to do it. It right. They didn't consult God. You remember the revelation or the vision of the bride? I want you to listen what a peculiar way he brings this in. He's referring now to the vision that he has of the bride, stepping out of line. Listen how he brings this. Remember the vision of the bride? Just keep her in step. Don't let her get out of step. Notice upon the shoulders of the priest. So the bride getting out of step in the vision has some correlation to the shoulders of the priest. Praise the Lord. These ain't my words. The bride getting out of line in the vision has something to do. Hey friends, he's the one who said this, not me. The vision of the bride, just keep her in step. Don't let her get out of step. Notice upon the shoulders of the priest. So one thing that would cause the bride to get out of line would be leaving the ministry. Feeling they are confident themselves. They don't need no preacher. They've got tapes. They've got their Bible. They've got the software on the computer. They don't need no preacher. They don't need to ask no preacher's advice about nothing. That's a new cart. I said it's a new cart. Praise the Lord. Notice it goes on to say, and David and all the priests that really ought to have known better. But what was it? The priests should have known better. The scribes, theologians should have known better. Because the word said not do that. David said, oh, now wait a minute. Upon the shoulders of the priest. That was back when Moses come out. Well, that was back in the apostolic day. That's before we had tapes. Now we don't need them. Now we got tapes. They got every word on tape. False prophecy. Praise the Lord. If you can't say amen, say out, so I'll know at least you're hearing me. Now watch this. Upon the shoulders of the priest, that was back when Moses came out. Sure, we'll put it on a new cart today. I got a revelation of it. Oh my. We'll worship. Boy, you talking about having a time. That's fixing to have a time too. The priest said, amen, David. See, influenced by the new ecumenical council. They should all get together and do it this way and that way. By going to the priests, by going to the theologians, by going to the military forces and not even considering the God-sent messenger of the hour. Nathan, they did it wrong. They went and picked up the ark and put it on a new cart. Put it on a new cart or a new denomination is going to start up. Not on the God-given ordained way to pack it. It was supposed to be packed on the shoulders of the Levites. Friends, witness about the Lord, witness about this message, but always remember, laity, you have a line. You have a line, and you must keep that line before you. Don't get over into the field of a minister where you have no ability to explain it. Don't get over into an area that you're not called to do. Oh, but Brother Donnie, it's a need, it's a need. I want to do it. Careful, David. You'll see a need there and you'll hear this and this question and that question. Careful, David. It'll pull you out of your position and you'll get into a spot you cannot easily get out of. The ark hadn't been among the people of God this way for 100 years. Is that not a need? Is it not a need to bring it to the house of God? Sure it is. But there's a right way to do it. So I'm trying to suffice this need. They overstepped the way. God's provided way. Notice, Brother Ram goes on to say in the Shreveportman, or Jeffersonville rather, notice the Levite shoulders was the original provided way of God to do these things. Pack that ark on the Levite's shoulders. Anything outside of that was contrary. I know, friends, it may be foolish to you, but God chose the foolishness of preaching. I realize I make a fool out of myself every time I preach. How would you like for your vocation to be called foolish? God never said painters was foolish, building houses is foolish, working at the hospital was foolish, but preaching is. God started it with foolishness, and he'll end it up the same way. He would not come up till this age and then say, no more preachers needed now when they do just all play tapes. That is a new cart, and it's contrary to the word. Well, praise the Lord. I'm going to preach with or without you, so. Notice this, the Levite's shoulders was God's original way to do it, and they put it on a new cart. It'll never work. They didn't consult the right way. They got out about it, and they went about it the wrong way. That's what's happened today. When men, no matter how sincere, try to do him a service outside of his provided way of revealing it, they always mess it up. Oh, God. God sets it in his way. Man, no matter how sincere you try to do it outside of that, you'll mess it up. This is God's way of doing it. Notice again, he said, my brother, now don't you miss this. And my sisters, you who want to be women preachers, don't miss this. No matter how much your anointing is, you've got to get it in God's provided position. David's anointing was all right, but in doing this, he got enthused. Oh my. Enthused and stepped over the boundary line. What did he do? He stepped over the boundary line instead of putting the ark in its original position. He carried it on a new cart, not over the hearts of the Levites. It was supposed to be carried on the shoulders of the Levites, which is over the heart. But instead of doing on that, he put it on a piece of machinery carried by animals. I can see why folks want to listen to tapes instead of a preacher. They get to pick out what they hear. And if they know Brother Ram's going to say a certain thing, they can fast forward it. Preachers don't come with remotes. Well, yeah, they do, but it's not in our hands. God's got a remote. Oh, some of you, if you had a remote, can you imagine me sitting here this morning, every one of you hundreds of people had a remote? Some of you would like that statement I just made. Say, so you rewind me and let me say it again. You say, man, I like that. And you say it again. Somebody said, like that. Say, I'm going to fast forward it. And they go, I'd be here and I'd be there and I'd be there and I'd be there. They'll tell me where I'd be. And all the guys are saying, so God don't give the remote to you. God don't even give the remote to the preacher. But God keeps the remote himself, and he'll lead the man this way and that way and that way. Oh my. I'm so glad he's a mighty God today that can still take God's home here and lead them in a way and preach things that you talked about coming to church. How many knows that's the truth? But my friends, that won't happen on Brother Ben's tapes. I listen to them hours and hours and hours and hours and hours. When I go back and listen to them, they said the same thing they said the last time I heard them. The only difference will be me hearing it. Maybe I didn't hear it quite the right way, but there'll never be nothing added. We'll never find the word pornography on there. We'll never find the word internet. We'll never find the word iPhone. We'll never find many of the sins and things that we're dealing with today. You'll never find them in the message. They're not there. Why? Because Brother Branham was not dealing with them. But God still has some Levites. Praise God. Well, I know some of you don't like it, but I don't really care. It's the truth anyhow. Now watch this in paragraph 234. Now influenced by creeds and ecumenical council, the word, the real word of the season of that age was ignored. Because it had a lot of emotion, but David, the anointed king, he was king. But he was anointed king. He said, I'm a minister. Anointed. Then stay a minister. Stay a minister. Don't try to be a prophet. If you're an evangelist, stay an evangelist. If you're a laity, stay a laity. Just cause you got a Facebook account don't mean you're a preacher. I know everybody with Facebook thinks they're a preacher. Facebook is an automatic pulpit to message folks. I'll tell you what, I hear it over and over again. You would not believe the trouble that pastors are dealing with around this message because of the stupidity of many of our sheep on Facebook. Preach, Brother Donnie. Thank you, I will. I'm with you, buddy. Go ahead. All right. Praise the Lord. You behind me? I'm behind you, buddy. I'm going to let that set for a minute. It's like concrete. The longer it sets, the harder it gets. Now watch. Let's resume our story. 1 Chronicles 13:8. David and all of Israel played before God with all their might. With singing and with harps and with psalteries and with timbrels. Man, you talking about a Pentecostal time. And with cymbals and with trumpets. But even on an occasion of joy, God does not relax His standard. You imagine there's tens of thousands of these people. The music is gone, and David, man, what a powerful man he was anyway, and what a singer, maybe leading the whole band, and they're all playing and rejoicing. Oh my, here they come down through there, and us in Ohio is driving the carts. My, the people are shouting and rejoicing. Said, you talking about a bride's revival? Glory to God. This is the greatest thing I've ever experienced in my life. Oh, how wonderful. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But the core of it is totally wrong. So God looks down out of heaven. There's multitudes of His children caught up in this denominational move in the message. And they're just, oh, ooh, and an awe. This is so great. This is so wonderful. Watch what happens. When they came up to the threshing floor of Chidon, Uzzah put forth his hand to hold the ark, for the oxen stumbled. Now, for those of you who like to pick, you want to pick Brother Branham's quotes, and you want to pick this fact and this fact and this fact, and try to annul the message because you're knucklehead. Can't make these so-called facts line up together. I'd like for you to pick your Bible in the same way. For 2 Samuel chapter 6 verse 6, recording the same occasion, says, when they came to Nacon's threshing floor. So who was it? Nacon or Chidon? Now there's an understanding of both these scriptures, but it just so happens I ain't going to give it to you. I'm going to leave you hanging. Now what? So here they come and they're rejoicing. My, they're just having a time. Tens of thousands. It's the biggest revival that's ever hit Israel. They've never had a move as this led by the king himself. So the oxen come up and they just kind of stumble a little bit. And when they stumbled, the ark kind of tilts. So Uzzah, not a priest, not a Levite, not a Kohathite. He's going to do God a favor. Now the word is fixing to be reproached. The word is fixing to fall off his car. He can't stand it. He's going to stand up for the word. So he stretches forth his hand to steady the ark. And God strikes him dead right on the spot. You see, all approaches to God must come through the holy awe and reverence that He demands. And you're saying, that's not even fair. It is fair. Now, David sinned. David was the one who caused this. But Uzzah stepped over the breach of this awesome position of God. And he brought God down to his level. And now he's going to help God out. And he approaches the ark with irreverence. King David might have made him commandeer this ark. He might have made him do it. You go, I want you to go. But by his own will, he stretched over his boundary. Now God is placed in this great dilemma. I hate it when my father is so misunderstood. It breaks my heart when he's so falsely accused by people. When they get themselves into situations and then he's forced to move, and then they blame him for the move. I want you to look. God is the one now who looks like the mean old bad old God. God's the one that looks like the terrible one. But now his reputation, his honor, his reverence, all of this is now at stake. Does he let this go or does he strike this man? Why not strike David? Because David did not initially touch the ark. Now David's wrong, but David was not now the one who was wrong. David caused this man to do it, surely. Directly it was linked to him. Oh friends, don't you realize you parents, the way you raise your children? Don't you realize you say irreverential statements about the message and the prophet of God and about preachers? Don't you see what you're instilling in the minds of your children? Many of you are raising a generation of kids that will have no respect whatsoever for men of God. Why? Because you've lost that. Look what it done. David, being the king, brought down that awe and that reverence and that fear for God. And it trickled right on down among the laity. So here is a man that feels like he, a mere mortal, can reach up and touch the ark of God and bring it down to his own level. Lord Jesus. Look in verse 10. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Uzzah. And he smote him because he put his hand to the ark. The harshness of this judgment must be seen in the light of God's holiness. Amen. The breach. That David, actually still after it happens, David still misses it. And he calls it Perez Uzzah. Because God breached upon him. And he still doesn't recognize Uzzah made the breach, not God. Look at the danger of real worship. You take a man and his wife and they get cold on God and they get out of church for a year, two, three, four, and they got teenage daughters, teenage boys. They get out of church and they go to tasting of the world and the things of the world. It'll be a miracle if they ever get them back in right. Then maybe the mom and daddy makes up their mind, you know what, we need to quit this and we need to quit that. And they come back to God and then their children have done taste of the world. And then, oh my, if they're not careful, they'll blame it on God. How come God don't do this? Don't blame God for your own stuff, David. Don't blame God if there's a breach in your house because of something that you have done. Don't get quiet on me now. Can't you see the danger of will worship? It's not just you that's involved in this. If you're a married man, if you've got children, even when you come to a body, we're not just here, we are individuals baptized into the body, but when we come here, we are one unit. You do something wrong, it can reflect back on the rest of us. I do something wrong, it can reflect back not only in my family, but in my church, but in the message around the world. We are a unit, but we are baptized individual units into a mystical body of Christ. We need one another. We don't just need one another in presence and offerings and that sort of thing. We need one another in stability. We need one another in union. We need one another with integrity and honesty as Christians. You take a man and woman sense. A man and woman that will raise their children in an ecumenical minded mindset. They never really separate from the world. They never separate from denominations. They never really separate. You watch them kids when they grow up. They'll look at a Baptist preacher and a message preacher and they'll see no difference. As a matter of fact, they'll look at that Baptist one and think he's got more love because they were raised in that ecumenical home. That ecumenical home, instead of putting a difference, the reason that man tells you that because he loves you and that other guy knows it, but he won't tell it because you'll get rid of him if you do. So they're raised in that ecumenical thinking. Well, there's no difference between Brother Branham and Oral Roberts and, you know, Brother Branham and T.L. Osborne. There's no difference between Brother Donnie and the local pastor down here. If there ain't, y'all better get gone. If we're not saying something here different than the Baptist Church and the Church of Christ and the Methodist and all that sort of thing, we need to repent. Now listen, sorry, don't misunderstand me. The sin here was really initially David's. But it pleased God. It pleased God that David would receive his warning through the death of another. It's sad, really, when children of God get cold and backslidden and indifferent. I always fear for them, and I fear for their children. I fear for their wife. I fear for business and this and that and the other. Because you know, if they're God's children, He will get them. He'll get them one way or the other. And sometimes their child is more precious than even their own sight, as far as their own body and their own health and so on. So Uzzah is now put in this position, not being a priest, not being a Levite. He was guilty of irreverence. But yet God, it's amazing how God does that. God can take some people's life while they are living and use them as an example to exemplify mercy, to exemplify grace, to exemplify many different things. But other people, He will take them in death and use their passing as a great lesson to some of those that are left behind. We look around and we see that many times that happens in preaching and funerals and dealing with lots of that. I've seen so many people that's been turned around by the death or the passing of a loved one. And yet in their life, they maybe was never able to affect this person or that one. But in their passing, somehow God took that and was able to affect other people, even though their bodily presence was gone from the earth. So now here God is going to merge into this a twofold way, in that He will give to Uzzah, because of his irreverence of bringing God, the holy God, down off of the ark and bringing God to the level that Uzzah felt like he could take his mortal, unredeemed hand and touch the presence or the throne of God. God took his life. But in taking his life, why didn't God take David? It would have produced the same consequences. It would not have produced the same results. It so smote David when God took this man. It reinstilled this reverence and this awe that David should have had in the first place. As a matter of fact, by this incident, it corrected David, and we'll read it later, that David come back and acknowledged this is the way it should be done. It should be bore on the shoulders of the priest. Isn't it amazing that through this man's life, so God is able to work into some folks' life great mysteries and great teaching principles. In some others, He will work into their deaths. And even though they are gone, it will leave a lasting impression of the influence upon other people's lives. Oh my, let mine be both. You want that? Let God be able to use your life for something. Now watch this. So God had to judge immediately, or else sacrifice His glory and permit His great reverence to be exposed before the people. Now they're going to bring down. This is God's honor at stake. Why would He deal so harshly with this man? This is God's reverence. If God lets down this approach and lets him get by with it, then God will have to do another man and another man and another man the same way. Now watch this. Brother Ram said God, David himself rather, the greatest military genius that Israel ever had. And yet David was a prophet. I thought prophets made no mistakes. Friends, you got to be careful when you're taking quotes. You can't just isolate one quote. You got to take this one with that one, with that one, with that one. So here is a prophet leading the people, the followers of the message, into will worship, leading them away from the ministry. And he's in a position that there ain't nobody going to challenge him. Well, praise the Lord. Boy, you folks got awful quiet on me all of a sudden. Go ahead, take your breaths. It's okay. Calm down, everybody now. One, two, three. There you go. I hope I don't have to mouth to mouth, everybody. My lips will fall off if I do. I'm going to ask you, Brother Dow, would you have stood against David in that day? Scotty, would you have had nerve enough? What about it, brothers? Brother Mac, Brother Skip? Your sisters, would you have had enough nerve to say, I ain't going to that meeting. There's something wrong with it. It's off the word. I ain't even got a preacher. Oh, Brother Don, you're blind. Brother Branham is our pastor, really? How long has it been since you've seen him? How can one man from another dimension pastor folks in this dimension? Next time you see your pastor, be sure and greet him for me. Come on, friends, don't be foolish. It's a new cart. Satan knows there's no revival in that. He knows people die. Them same people that project tapes, how much do they even hear when they go? I've been to some of them. They sat there and sleep nearly the whole time it's going on. Looks more like sleeping virgins to me instead of bride's revival. Oh my, here we go. Investments. He said, now as the prophet said, the prophet David said he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. So here is a prophet that receives inspiration. But the inspiration is contrary to what's already been written. And all the people are gathered around him. And this poor man loses his life. Now notice what David does. And David was displeased. I want you to notice his attitude. Now remember, he's a prophet. He's a king. He's a great man. And David was displeased. To be hot, furious, burn, become angry. To be kindled, to heat oneself in vexation. So instead of making him say, oh Lord God, Lord, stop everything. Wait a minute. Hey, stop. Let's get down on our knees and ask God, what's wrong? What's wrong here? David got mad. I believe church is one of the best places in the world to get folks mad. I believe it is. They get madder in church than they do over somebody taking your spot at Walmart. You ever see it out when you're like that? You know, you're pulling, looking for a parking spot and somebody backing out, 13 people sitting there watching for that spot. This man over here sees that guy down there and somebody pulls into it. Man, they look at you and looks at you. You drop dead on a hammer. That ain't nothing like going to church and getting mad. My. It's a holy indignation. It's a holy wrath. You better watch it unless you want spots on your head. Oh, my. Woo. And David was displeased. Why? Because the Lord. Oh, I see. So all this is wrong. Tens and thousands of people have done wrong. They're under the wrong inspiration. David was wrong. But now the blame of the whole thing is God. When are we ever going to stop blaming for God for our ignorance? Some of you folks spend more money than you make. And you blame God because you're in poverty. You ought to go to work for the Congress. You'd make a good senator. I don't know, maybe some of you need to run for president. You might make a great president or congressman or something. Don't blame God whenever you spend more money than you make and then you get your family in the office financial mess that ever was. Come on, children. You don't pray, you don't read your Bible, you backslid and get cold on God, then God whoops the forehead of you and you blame God. Don't blame God for your backsliding. God was not to blame in this situation, and yet David got angry at God. You see what will worship does? His will is still so strong and so prevalent. Why would you dare? Would you dare kill this man? You just interrupted my revival. I was fixing to have this great big move and I was going to do, I was going to. Pretty hard to have a revival when you're having a funeral. You'd think if that man was in his senses at all, he'd say, Lord God, you spared my life because of it. And took him. I ought at least be grateful for that. But instead of that, God, I thought I knew you. I thought I knew how you was. David was displeased because the Lord had made a breach upon Uzzah. Whereof that place is called Perez Uzzah to this day. So David, instead of using this occasion, but called an altar call. Yes, sir. Lay the instruments down. Forget the singing. Time to pray. Come on. David got angry. Then watch. It moves into the next stage of anger. Verse 12. And David was afraid
of God that day. Friends, I'm totally convinced, 100%. The reason folks live the way they do and do the way they do, the way folks act the way they do when they come to church, they've lost their fear of God. Because in their mind, they think the gospel, this message, has come to liberate them from all fear. That's not true. It's come to liberate us from the devil's fear. It does not liberate us from the fear of God. The fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of God is the beginning of knowledge. To lose our fear of God's presence, we are backslid. To lose our fear to talk about men of God, to run down the prophet of God, to run down the message, you are backslid. I don't care how spiritual you think you are. The fear of God. Can you imagine like John on the Isle of Patmos, a man who walked with the Lord Jesus and saw the Lord Jesus after his resurrection. And when he saw him in his glorified state, he said, I fell at his feet as dead. Why? This man, even though it was not common knowing, it was not something that made his common acquaintance, but in that glorified presence, that same Lord Jesus, I believe, is right here in this building today. Oh, he don't want us to serve him because we're scared to death, but he wants us, when he comes near, he wants us to be able to know and sense that he's there, and that awe and that reverence. Why do people, why do fools walk with hobnailed shoes where angels fear to try? They don't have no fear of God. Why are these websites starting up blasting the prophet of God, calling him a liar, calling him a false prophet? They've lost their fear of God. They've lost their fear of what God has done in this day. I've lost my fear of the devil. I ain't afraid of going to hell. I ain't afraid of what the devil can do. But I still have my holy reverence for my heavenly Father. I still fear his presence. I fear that I would mistake somehow. I fear that I would lead you astray. I hope I never lose that. Parents, you need to teach your children when you bring them to the house of God. This is not a place to play. The nurseries are not a toy room. The first or the last four or five pews is not a restaurant. It's not a toy room. You need to teach them this is the house of God. We need to have reverence and fear. So then let me ask you this question. So if God gets angry with us because of our disobedience, then the answer to this is us to get angry at God. Why do we do it then? Don't raise your hand. Any of y'all ever got mad at God? You ever question God? Have an attitude toward God? Some of y'all ain't moving because you don't want me to know, but your eyes is telling me. Sure we have. Watch this in verse 12. And David was afraid of God that day, saying, how shall I bring the ark of God home to me? So David in his failure messes up. An innocent man is now laying on the ground dead. So David's solution is, I'm out of here. I'm out of here. I ain't bringing this home to my house. No, sir. Take the word, take the message, do whatever with it. I don't want it. David, that's your answer? You have a failure, you have a mistake, you have a shortcoming, and your answer is quit? So does that mean the next time you mess up in life, you're just going to quit breathing? I messed up all ago. I'm just going to quit breathing. Brother Donnie. Brother Donnie. Please. No, I ain't breathing. I'm quit breathing. I'm discouraged. I'm down. I'm low. So I'm going to quit breathing. I ain't breathed yet. Shut up. You really think I should? So David said, hey, this whole thing went wrong. So I ain't bringing this message home to my house.
Well, what should we do with it? Well, I don't know. But I don't want nothing to do with it right now. I need to break away from church. Think I might go to Hawaii and go to a luau. I think every weekend from now on, I'm going to start going out to Dollywood and see if I can see Dolly. Yeah, why don't you go ahead and hug up to old Dolly down there? So this is David's answer. You see, friend, when you start off, one mistake leads to another, to another, to another, until you stop. And David was afraid of God that day, saying, how shall I bring the ark of God home to me? I don't want this in my house. I do not want this in my home. It's too strict. It's too strict. So what if I mess up and God kills me? So I do not want this in my house. It's sobering, isn't it? And this was a prophet. Praise the Lord. Verse 13. So David brought not the ark home to himself, to the city of David, but carried it aside into the house of Obed-Edom, the Gittite, a Gentile. Glory. So here's the king and all the people. Oh, we don't want this. We don't want this. But a Gentile said, I'll take it. I'll take it. You don't want the message no more? Send me your books. You don't want the message no more? Send me your MP3s. I'll send them to Africa. You don't want the message no more? Send it our way. We'll spread it abroad. You don't want to live this way no more? I'll take it. I'll take it. I'll take it. Let me be ordered, Edom, the Gittite. Let the Lord God come into my house. What about it, church? If the Davids in our ranks don't want the ark, do we want it? How could a prophet do this? How could a man after God's own heart? This is the consequences of the dangers of world worship. And the whole problem with this whole scenario is God crossed his will and he's pouting on him. So David's pouting. David, you want me to bless you? No. Want your cup to run over? No, and turn my cup upside down. Keep your old blessings. Amen. So you don't bring the word home with you? No. I don't want it. Too dangerous. Requires too much for me. And the ark of God remained with the family of Obed-Edom in his house for three pulls. And the Lord blessed the house of Obed-Edom and all that he had. So David, you don't want it. Israel, you don't want it. You don't want to repent. You don't want to say, you're the one that done wrong and not me. You want to blame me for your marriage fall apart. You want to blame me because of this, that, and other. So you just turn me out of your life. You don't want me. That's up to you. I'll bless the man who received me. I'll bless the young man who will. Some of you young girls don't want to serve him. That's fine. He won't make you serve him. God did not make David take the ark. He said, that's fine, David. If you don't want it, I'll pour out the blessing on Obed-Edom, the Gittite's house. Oh, husbands and wives and sons and daughters, may we not turn down the ark, Brother Don, even in our mistakes. Even in our mistakes, let's learn from David's mistake. Let's learn how to repent in the middle of our failures. Let's learn how to repent when we are wrong and say, Lord God, come aside with me. Come on to my house, Lord. Come on to my house with your healing and your blessings. Amen. You mean to tell me God would have been willing to went to David's home, David's place, over the top of David's mistakes? But David just wouldn't let him. See what a terrible thing the human will can be. But God, rich in mercy, God didn't smote David and said, I'll take your life. But God let him live. He gave him a little time to pout. Remember when Brother Branham went on a pout on God? Went and prayed for that lady and she gave her heart back to God in the hospital and going to die and all that. And her husband gave his heart back to God and the mother and all of them. Been in and out of church and in and out of church. Oh, he just knew the woman was going to be healed and God was going to raise her up. Went out of town. She told her mother, Mother, I'm going home. She said, yes, you are, honey. You're doing so much better. She said, no, Mama. I mean, my real home. No, honey. You're going to get better and you're going to go home. You and your husband, you're going to have a wonderful family. She said, no, Mama. I'm going home. And Brother Branham was going on a campaign. The woman died. When he come back, media tells him, said, she died. He said, what? He said, so I went to God. I don't know why I said it, he said, but I went to God and I said, you owe me an understanding. Man. Even prophet's flesh stinks in the eyes of God. He said he let me pout for about 3 months and he told me, go down and ask her mother. If they wasn't having a picnic a year ago down at a certain place and she fell into a hole of water and nearly drowned, it was her time then, but she wasn't ready. So I had to take her when she was ready. He said, no doubt if I would have went with the right attitude, he would have told me that, but I approached him the wrong way. Listen, friend, God owes us nothing. So David's just going to pout. So David comes to church and he just thumbs through his Bible. That burns me up when people do that. I've had preachers do me that way. Preachers sitting right in this church. I correct them on something they say or something they preach and then they come to church and pout like a little 3-year-old. A man like that won't get no higher than that off the ground. If a preacher can't take correction of the word, he ain't got no right giving it. So they sat there and pout and thumb through the Bible and thumb through a psalm. What'd you lose? What are you looking for? But they want me to know they're pouting. So once I see that old pouting thing on them, I just preach right over them. You know, if they're sitting right there or wherever they're sitting at, I just look right over them and preach to the non-pouters. And just let the pouters pout. And let the shouters shout. So after this big revival, Brother Gene, look what David does. 1 Chronicles 14:1, the very next verse. Now Hiram, king of Tyre, sent messengers to David and timber of cedars and masons and carpenters to build him a house. So now the big failure of the revival. So David now puts his energies and all of that toward him. So he's got a business. He's got more to his business and more to his business. Now he's so busy he ain't got time for church. He's been blessed by God so much he can't even go to church anymore. Hallelujah. So after this failure, David doesn't turn toward God and say, God, can we redo this? He just lays it up on the shelf, so to speak. David perceived that the Lord had confirmed him king over Israel, for his kingdom was lifted up on high. Isn't that amazing? The ark is still in the house of Obed-Edom. Because of his people. So now the people are gathering around and said, oh, praise God, I know I'm a king now. Look at all the people I got following me. That won't last long. And David took more wives. Oh, Lord. What? I didn't say anything. Some things are just better left unsaid, right? And David took more wives at Jerusalem, and David begat more sons and daughters. Can't you see? After this failure with God, he gets so wrapped up in
domestic life. Houses, lands, children, soccer bangs, football games. But then word got back to David sometime after this that the house of Obed-Edom was being so blessed. So David thought, maybe I am too busy. Maybe we do need to do something. Now what's this in First Chronicles chapter 15? This mistake, David is now going to straighten out. David made him houses in the city of David and prepared a place for the ark of God. And pitched for it a tent. Then David said, none ought to carry the ark of God but the Levites.
Praise God. A son got over his pout and spell. Oh, aren't you glad God is so merciful to us children? Think where would we be today, all of our pouts and our misunderstandings of God, and we've questioned him over this and that and the other, but he knows how we are as human beings. He knows how we struggle with such things. But now David, he sees, oh God, we need to bring your ark back into the house. And David said, let me tell you one thing, glory to God. Well, the preachers need to pack this word. Hallelujah. And some of them same people that said amen to the false message said, amen! Amen! Sheep are so gullible. You put a post in front of the lead sheep. Put it this high. The lead sheep comes through, jumps the post. The second sheep does. Then you remove the post. The third, the fourth, the fifth, the sixth, on down to 995 of them, and they will all still jump. How come y'all ain't jumping? You don't like to hear that about yourself, do you? There's nothing for you to jump from, but they're following the leader. I wonder if her mind didn't go back 6 months prior to this as they sat there and heard David. Tears running out of their eyes. I said, yes, sir, glory to God. That's what the prophet of God said. That's what he said. Amen. Say what he said, David. And some of them same people screamed, yes, sir, it's God. It's God for us to bring the ark the new way. But God in his mercy and our ignorance and our shortcomings. Let me close by asking you this question. I wonder how much in our lives today is involved with will worship. We worship God when we please, how we please. We go to church as we please. We go to the church that we choose. As I said last night, folks choose churches as if it was a grocery store. Well, I don't like Ingles no more. I'm going to Kroger. I don't like Kroger. I'm going to wherever. But you know, friends, church is someplace we should pray about going. Not who's got the best deal and the best coupons. We have no advertisements in the paper that we got 3 for 1 today. We want to offer the word. We want to offer truth and liberty for you. So church says, well, I don't want to go there. I think I want to go over there. That's not your choice. That's why the prophet told us that we should pray over what church we go to. Because churches carry spirits. Preachers carry spirits. People carry spirits. You should pray over who you fellowship with. Lest their spirit gets off on you. Will worship. Do you worship according to what you think God wants? Where God wants you to go? How much time you think God demands of you? Or do you go to him and say, Lord, what do you want of my life? Where should I live? Where should I go to church? How often should I go? Should I go every time the church doors is open, like Brother Brim said, or really is 1 out of 3 enough? I mean, I don't live but 5 miles from the church, but really I don't think I need to go that much. You're a will worshiper. I always wait myself till after the singing is over and I just want to go straight in for the word and straight out. You're a will worshiper. You don't think you need the singing to prepare your spirit. Neither do you think you need the worship after the word is over so you head out the door. You're a will worshiper.
the danger of will worship. May we look at our hearts today and search our lives. It's so much easier for us, friends, I've found, and you know as well. Whenever things are said from a minister from the pulpit about situations and scenarios that don't really involve you, and you, that's right, bless God, that's a truth. It's so easy for us to see things that we're not involved in. But then what about ourselves? Where we are. Do you fathers, have you assumed the full responsibility of what God wants you to be? I really hope and pray the Lord allows me to bring what he gave me down at Brother Jason's about a godly man. All that a godly man truly is. There's such a vast difference in a saved man and a godly man. A saved man is forgiven from sin, but it don't mean he's godly yet. Godliness is added. And if you're like God, you love what God loves and you hate what God hates. So a man might get saved, give his heart to God, become a Christian, yet he still smokes or say drinks or has some kind of habit in his life. God looks at that and God hates it. But this man here, no farther along than he is, he's trying and no, he ain't right. He's still trying to lay it aside, but he still ain't done it yet. He's still not godly in that perspective. God will look at denominations and say, I hate that system. But a person that's a Christian may look at it and say, well, I don't think it's so bad, really. Is there really that much wrong with it? I really don't. They're not godly in their perspective. Remember God in the book of Revelation said, that thing, that doctrine, the deeds and all that of the Nicolaitans, which thing I hate. And he said, you also hate it. So they had a godly perspective in hating what God hated. God hates sin. God hates denominationalism. Not people of the denominations now, but denominationalism that will control the people and tell them what they can and cannot do. Do you hate it? Or do you love it? And you see, if you love what God hates, you're lacking godliness in that aspect of your life. Peter said we're partakers of the divine nature. And the word divine is the Greek word theos, which is divinity, deity, divinity and deity. So we're partakers of the divine nature, the godly nature, which attributes to us godliness. So we love what God loves. We hate what God hates. When God forgives, we forgive.
Amen.
Oh, you may be godly looking on the outside, but can you forgive people that trespass against you? Can you pray for them when they cast your name out as evil? That's godliness. I want to be like God, don't you? I don't want to just be a Christian. I don't want to just be a saved man. I want to be a godly man. Let's bow our heads together if you would. I got a text this morning from Brother Robert Marrera up in New York and said his mother was in real need of prayer. Some disc in her back. The doctors are really concerned about her. Is there any other here today that has needs in your life or your body or your home, whatever it is? Maybe yours is not physical or financial. Maybe yours is what we've talked about today, will worship. You're trying to sort through your life and pick out what you think God wants for you instead of actually going to the source who brought you and say, Lord, I don't know how to run my life. You help me. Speak to me, Lord, through the pastor. Speak to me through tapes. Speak to me through visiting ministers. Speak to me, Lord, that I can know what you want. Don't you be remembered? Raise your hand to me. God bless you. Lord Jesus, I know that services like last night and tonight, they tend to create this type of atmosphere. Solemn. Sober. We think on our ways. It gives us a glimpse, Lord, into the lives of great people. Lord, I ask that you would help us. Father, in the name of Jesus, we join together for Brother Robert Morrell's mother. Lord, you see the doctor really concerned about the disc problem and saying without something intervening, she may wind up in a wheelchair. But we're praying for your mercy for her, Lord, that you would help our sister. Dear God, there was hands lifted all over the building today. You know their needs. You know what the hand represented. Maybe some of them with financial needs, needs in their homes. Maybe some of them are dealing with an Ishmael that they made years ago. An Ishmael that got out of the will of God. And now they're having to deal with the aftermath of raising an Ishmael and an Isaac. Lord, maybe they're like David. They made a terrible mistake through will worship. They've done this or that or the other, and they missed your will. Maybe they've had a hard attitude towards you. Maybe they got angry at you or pouting at you, and they still haven't got over it. May you help them today, Lord. I thank you that your heart came to the earth one day in the body of flesh. For we know that Jesus was the heart of God. That way you could be a faithful priest. You in the garden could say, my God, not my will, but your will be done. Satan offered to him will worship in Matthew 4. If you'll bow down and worship me, I'll give you the kingdoms of the earth. At the Garden of Gethsemane, it closes out. The introduction of his ministry was introduced with the conflict of human will. The close out of his ministry, his human visitation on the earth, was closed out with the human will. Our introduction to you was the human will submitting to start our journey. The closing of our life, whether it be by death or the rapture, will be the consummation of that human will being so captivated into the presence of God. That if we go by the way of the grave, our will is still surrendered in the eternities. If a saint dies and the last breath goes out of their body and they've got that surrendered will, that will is now yours in the eternity. And when the resurrection comes, you'll not need their consent. You have captured their will. Praise God. In the rapture, this is why the living will be changed. You won't have to send us a notice. You won't have to tweet us or text us or email us. Our will has already been surrendered to you. So the rapture is only another step in our journey. Hallelujah. You tell us to quit this and lay this aside and don't do that and stop doing that. It's just one long journey of submitting our will, Lord. We don't want to worship you according to our will. We don't want to tell you what you should receive. But we want to ask you, what do you want? Lord Jesus, what do you want of me? Here I am, Lord, at this stage of my life. Brother Branham passed at 56 and he called himself an old man. So that makes me a year older than he was when he passed away. So if he was an old man at 56, then I'm certainly an old one at 57. What do you want? What do you want, Lord? Please tell me. Where do you want me to go? What do you want me to do? What do you want me to say? Please tell me, Lord. Please lead me. If you lead me away from this church to a little church out in the middle of nowhere where there's 15 or 20 people, if that be your will, then I want to follow. If you want me to go overseas or here, there, or there, I want to follow. I don't want to worship you by my will, bring the consequences upon my wife, my children, my grandchildren, the church. I want to worship you according to your own boundaries and your word. Grant it, Lord. Oh, Jesus, may it be so with these people today. Praise be to God. And the church said,
amen.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Now, can we raise our hands in this phase of worship? Let's just close our eyes. Maybe you can just tell him in your own way. Lord, what do you want me to do? Where you want me to go? What you want for my life? He said, Brother Donnie, I'm 60 years old. What difference does that make? God never started dealing with Abraham. He's 75. God didn't do with you. And if you're 90 or 100, the thing of it is, been willed. Just to give him your will. Seek him about your life. About business plans. About where to move to. Where to live. Does he want you to increase your business or downsize? Does he want you to do this or that or the other? We don't want to give our lives to ourselves and foolishness and satisfying the flesh. But we want to be submitted to Him. Do we not, children? If people don't want this message, if they want to turn it down, fine, that's up to them. I feel sorry for them. But praise God, bring it over my way. Let this ark, let me prepare a room for Him, Brother Danny. Let me be the Obed-Edom, one of them of this hour. Brother Terry, let us be one of the Obed-Edom, the Gittites, for we can make a room in our home for the ark of God. Are you willing, fathers? Are you willing, my brothers? Are you willing, my sisters? Young people, are you willing to make a room in your busy life, in your busy schedule? If other people don't want it, they're too busy. Your mama turns away and your daddy turns away. Are you willing to say, Lord, I'll make a room in my life. I'll consecrate this room to the ark of God, the cherubims. Come in, Lord Jesus. Come in, Lord Jesus. I've got room for your correction. I've got room for your discipline. I don't just want His blessings. I want discipline. Discipline is a sign of sonship, not blessings. God blesses the just and the unjust, but He disciplines the righteous. Sons are the ones who see correction. I don't want just blessings. I want correction. I want to be disciplined. I want to be whipped when I'm wrong. Don't you, children? Amen. I don't want just to shout and scream and holler glory to God, but I want to feel His rod on me when I'm wrong, when I do things that's not pleasing to Him. That's one of the best signs I know that I'm a real son of God. Oh, I admire David. I love him. But I don't admire this mistake that he made. Nor Jeroboam, nor Uzziah, nor Dathan, nor Korah, or Biram. Many of them we could read about in the Bible. But I want to be able to be like those who are willing to submit. Lord Jesus, flow through our lives. Let's sing this song together. Flow through me, Holy Spirit. Is this what you want? Why don't you present yourself today as a living sacrifice on the altar? I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto the Lord, which is only your reasonable service. Be ye not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that He might show you what is that good and perfect and acceptable will of God. Let's sing it together now. Let's just take a few moments before we go for our lunch or whatever you've got for this afternoon, plan for that. Let's just lay that aside for a few minutes. Flow. Sing it now. Holy Spirit, flow through me. Preach through me, Lord. Talk through me. Love through me. I'll be your house to dwell in. Flow through me. Lord, that's worship. Let me be that good spirit to someone else. Love through me, Holy Spirit. Love once again, flow through me. That you can hold me. Yes, Lord. I want to be that good spirit. maybe Brother West come and sing that chorus for us again. We can just believe today the work that the Lord God has done for us. You believe it's done? Why haven't we got it? It's our faith needs to be quickened to bring the manifestation of the reality of it in our hearts. And it needs healing today in your body or deliverance or something in your life. Oh, my Lord. God bless you, children. I would to God I could, if I had it in my pocket, I'd take it out and give it to every one of you. If there's something I could do to help you, I'd do it with all of my heart. One thing I don't do is present Jesus to you as a living being, a living God, and try to influence you in a proper way to know that He's here to help you. I want you, while our brothers singing this, if you would. Would you turn around and just lay your hand on that person standing by you? My, there's so many needs among the people. Eagle to eagle, believer to believer. Hallelujah. Lord Jesus, as we're preparing, Father, to sing the song that so blessed our hearts. Lord, you saw the needs of your people. Hands that were uplifted all over this place today. Lord God, as their pastor, my heart goes out to them. Some of them sick, Lord. Some of them going through strains in their family, financial burdens, whatever it is. But Lord God, I want to bring before them today a living God. Not a historical figure that used to move, but one that's just as much alive today. Lord Jesus, as we enter into this worship now, may the presence of God help our faith to be elevated, to be able to receive what we have need of, Lord. To know that you're that faithful high priest that's right now in our presence that can be touched by the feelings of our infirmities. Heal the sick, Lord. Satan, I adjure you, in the name of the living God, take your hands off of God's property. You oppressing demons out of hell that will try to bind the children of God, set them free. Loose them, Satan. Try to bind our young people. Maybe those with anger in their hearts or resentment toward God, take your hand off of them. We refuse to pout on Jehovah. We refuse to pout on God. Grant it, Lord Jesus. Minister now, Lord God, I pray. Amen. Receive now from Him, children. Sing it, Brother Wes. Receive from Him, children. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah.
Oh, it's already done.
Thank you, Lord. Yes.
Oh, it's already done.
Praise your name, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
The battle is over.
Hallelujah.
Victory is
praise
won.
God. Put that sickness under you, Jesus.
It's already done.
That rebellious child coming over to God.
It's already done. The battle is over. The victory is won. It's over.
your blessing. Claim your inheritance.
You say, but Brother Donnie, it looks so dark. I know it can. But it's the darkest hour when Jesus comes along. Ain't that right? He may let you go to where it seems like there's absolutely no way out. And then he'll come right on the scene. You just keep believing it. Keep trusting him. Midnight in the middle of the day. Let's sing this before we go. You enjoy being in the house of God today. Praise God. Hallelujah. Listen to the words of the song now. We prepare to go. The sun was hot. The angry mob gathered by the gray stone field. As a man dressed in velvet with a curly black beard stepped out on his balcony, nervously washing his hands to rid him of the blood he would never walk away. His wrinkled brow showed the worried lines I heard Pilate say. Now listen, I find no fault in this man called Jesus, the healer from the shores of Galilee. Oh my, I command you to ask me to let him go free. Don't make me take his blood to the grave with me. Oh my, my, nervously washing his hands to rid him of the blood I would never wash away. Oh, the mob cried the blood of this innocent man. I heard Pilate pray. Oh,
Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I think I better dismiss before I get my second wind. Ooh, you go to talking about them thunders rolling across some mountains and that lightning. It's one thing to sing about the angels waving the crimson flag of triumph up on the hills of glory. But I'm going to tell you, there's some saints down here in this last day, and they're waving a flag too. Amen. We have overcome, and we will continue to overcome because we are part of His body. I wish I was half my age and twice my size. God bless you. Let's pray together. Oh, Lord Jesus. Thank you. Thank you. That we would be beckoned into this awesome presence that we sense you're among us today. Who are we? Obed-Edom, the Gittites. We Gentiles. But your ark needs a place to stay. Lord, the denominations have turned you out many years ago. They pushed you out on the street. Many message folks are doing the same. But Lord Jesus, I welcome you into my heart. Come in, Lord. I give your glory a place to reside. I'm not ashamed when my cup overflows, Lord. Brother Bam told the people when he preached the seals, he said, when you hear me say, I'm feeling religious. He said, that's what I'm talking about. The stimulation is getting so much. I feel like I'm about ready to go to cutting up. Praise God. I'll give you my feet to dance if you want to dance, Lord. I give you my hands to worship. Praise God. I give you my eyes to cry through. My voice to speak. Lord, we worship you. Go with your children out today, Lord. Bless them, I pray, Father. In Jesus Christ's name. God bless you, saints. I love you. I'll see you Wednesday, Lord.
Father, I see that you are drawing a line in the sand. I want to be standing by your side.
Yeah, Lord.
Holding your hand.
Holding your hand.
So let your kingdom come. Lord, let it live in me. This is my prayer. This is my plea. Let the worshipers arise. Let the sons and the daughters sing. So let your kingdom come. Let it live in me. This is my prayer. This is my plea. Let the words of birds arise. Let the sons and the daughters sing. I'm surrendering.